Last week I mentioned that I was going to talk about unity today, and that is exactly what I am going to talk about. We've talked about the power of worship. We've talked about the power of God's word. We've talked about the power of the Holy Spirit and how these things help us in the spiritual battles that we fight. Remembering that our enemy is not people. Our enemy is the spiritual forces of wickedness in the world, Satan, and everything that he brings against us. We've talked about how God wants to equip us and give us weapons that we can use to defeat those forces, and how the enemy uses things in our life to try to drag us down and to destroy us. And so what I want to focus on today, kind of in a follow-up to the last two messages that we've done, and talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and listening to God's direction and listening to God's guidance, and why getting those orders are so important in a spiritual battle, I want to talk about why unity is important. Why unity is so important. So you should have a little handout in your bulletin with some places where you can fill in some blanks, and hopefully everything lines up good, and it'll make sense and be clear as we go. Just on a side note, we did meet here yesterday morning, me and some of the guys. We had kind of our first monthly meeting of the Godfathers. Dun, dun, dun. Yes, men committed to being good fathers and husbands. I even had some guys there that were not yet fathers or husbands, but they wanted to get a head start, which was cool. And so we've been thinking about things that we might be able to do when we get into better weather. And we were hoping, whoops, there go my notes. We're hoping that we can do things that will appeal to, you know, a good cross-section of men. It turns out in our group we have some who are, how do we put it? Firearm aficionados, Darren? Firearm aficionados? Kelly's just laughing over there. And so we're hoping that we can organize a time when we can get together for breakfast and, devotional time and target practice, which doesn't involve shooting at each other, but shooting beside each other at other kind of targets, not the truck. But anyway, but we figure a gun safety lesson and some things like that. I know that it's been really successful for Pastor Todd down in Imperial with their retreat to have various activities that appeal to a large cross-section of guys. And being that I am very limited in my contact with firearms and shooting at things, other than that 22 that I bought to shoot the rattlesnake, and I never did get to shoot the rattlesnake with it because it was gone. Anyway, kind of like the proverb says, when the horse is stolen, it's too late to lock the barn. Anyway, but we'll hopefully put something like that together. And so we have some fun ideas, things that will be fun, informative, and hopefully life-changing for men in our church and in our community. So let's talk about unity. What is unity, particularly within a body of believers and a body of, a church? What does that have to do with spiritual warfare? You know, if the battle is actually against spiritual forces, if the battle is against Satan, if the battle is against an enemy that really can't see, what does being unified have to do with anything? And that's what I want to talk about. There's a verse in Matthew 12, which I'll read in a minute, which basically puts it out this way. Why unity is so important. The first reason we want it is if we lack unity, a lack of unity within our church family, within the people that we're surrounded by, will lead to destruction, pure and simple, or at the very least, ineffectiveness. So unity is important because if you don't have it, understand that it will lead to destruction or at the very least, ineffectiveness. Now here's the verse. Matthew 12, 25, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. It says, he knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. Now, the context of this statement is, you know, Jesus is explaining to, you know, people why the kingdom of darkness will fall, because it's divided against itself. Unfortunately for us, unfortunately for the church, this statement has proven true about the church, about people in general. You know, when you've got discord and you've got strife and you've got fighting and you've got division, it's not going to stand. This is why the church historically has found itself being quite ineffective, because it's been divided against itself. There's been a lack of unity. And as a result, it's either been destroyed or at the very least been ineffective. So we want to definitely move away from that. If you want to be effective in your battle against the enemy, unity with other believers is not just helpful, it's a must. Because we weren't meant to go this alone. We weren't meant to do this alone. And when God created Adam, he looked at him and said, it's not good for man to be alone. And men, you know what we're talking about, right? Ouch. Yeah. We know Eve probably could have managed fine. I know. But the reality is we were created to need each other. As much as we were created to have a relationship and have that need to be in connection with God, we are created as social beings. And we have that need to draw strength and encouragement from one another. Well, that brings us to this next point. Number two, why is unity so important? Well, two or more people are stronger and more effective than just one. Pure and simple. This is not rocket science. This is just, when you need help, you need help. And you know how kids are when they're growing up and they're in that stage of they want to do it themselves, but they still need help. Some of us never really grew out of that. I do it myself. All right. Good luck with that. Yeah, 2 hours later, I do it myself, you know. Except in our case, we're adults, and three years later, I do it myself. And God's going, oh. Anyway. Two or more people are stronger and more effective than one in a lot of different ways. When we're praying together, when we're believing, when we're standing together, when we're resisting the enemy together. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. When you watch a television show like Man vs. Wild, where Bear Grylls is out, you know, doing the how to survive by yourself when you're in Saudi Arabia, or how to survive by yourself when you're in a Costa Rican jungle, or you're in the northern Canada running from grizzly bears or polar bears, he's actually not really alone. Because he's got cameramen with him. Yeah. Now there's that survivor man who goes out by himself with a camera, gets himself into some trouble. But the reality is, you know, when you read a verse like this and you realize, you know, you don't go mountain climbing by yourself. I mean, if you do, they have a word for that. It's a six-letter word. It starts with S, ends in D. And it starts with stew, ends in pid. Anyway, you just don't do that. You don't do it. And a lot of us don't realize that a lot of what we try to do by ourselves, alone, without help, without support, without accountability, without encouragement, is a lot like that. It's like mountain climbing by yourself, exploring the frozen north by yourself. You know, we have a recipe for, you know, how to fight hypothermia, how to rescue somebody when they fall. It was a few years ago, there was a story of a man who was exploring, and he had, I can't remember if he was simply exploring by himself or if he was climbing a mountain, but he ended up with his arm under a rock, and he couldn't get his arm out, and he was there by himself. He finally had to break his own arm and cut his arm off. Yeah. To leave. And for a lot of people, it was a very inspiring story. But what would have been more inspiring for me is if the friend that had been with him and had been able to get help and they'd been able to rescue the guy and his arm. You know, I can't imagine what that guy went through. But can you imagine laying there, realizing what you were going to have to do to survive and saying, man, I wish I'd brought somebody with me. Wow. Number three. Why is unity so important? God's power and spirit move and flow more freely as more people are unified. It seems kind of strange, but when people are unified together, you know, I briefly mentioned, you know, our youth meeting here Wednesday night. It was a powerful thing. There was a huge move of God here that happened that night, and the teens will tell you all about it. I probably should have had them tell you all about it, but I had this plan instead and wasn't thinking about that. The reality is that when people are focused together, the Spirit of God has more of a freedom to do what he wants to do. especially when that unity is present. Now, Jesus attests to this in Matthew 18. Let's read it. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." Simple promise. Now look, is God not with you when you're alone? Of course he is. But when you get together with two or three or more believers, you know, and you're seeking the Lord and you're there in the name of the Lord, there's some powerful stuff that can begin to happen that just doesn't happen when you are by yourself. When God begins to work collectively on people together, it's a powerful thing. And when we are together in that sense, oftentimes God is able to move more freely and you know, when we're unified. Or even this next factor that kind of amps it up a little more. Why is unity so important? Spiritual unity can even be exponentially effective. That's a great word, exponentially. It's not just about addition. It's not like, okay, if one of us is here and two of us, then we're twice as effective, and three of us is three as effective. It's almost like when you add numbers, there's an exponential thing that happens in the spiritual realm. One is more effective, two becomes 10 times more effective, three becomes 100 times more effective. It's almost like we're in binary code or something. Deuteronomy 32. How could one man chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight? You see that one and one doesn't add to 10, but in this case it does. Unless their rock had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up, for their rock is not like our rock, even as our enemies concede. You know, the question is, how could one man chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 unless God had given them over to the one or two? You know, the idea is there's a spiritual kind of exponentialness. I don't even know if that's a word, but let's make it a word. That happens when two people are agreeing together. Suddenly, things begin to expand and grow. So what happens when you have 100 or 1,000? You have world-changing potential in that kind of a group. You know, if we're going to fight spiritual battles together, if we're going to pray together, if we're going to believe for breakthroughs in our lives, in our church, in our community, if we're going to pray for the Spirit of God to do something here in Gordon or Shadron or Rushville or Hay Springs or in Pine Ridge, that happens when people begin to come together and be unified to see the Spirit of God move. Number five, here's something on a really practical level. We fight temptation and spiritual attack more effectively as a group. And group may not be the best word. April used the word family earlier. You know, you could write that word beside group, family. You could write the word team, sports metaphors. Super Bowl's coming up, right? You know, whatever one of those words speaks to you, or if they all speak to you, they all apply. You know, as a group of Christians, we're family. As a group of Christians, we're a team. We're a group. And if you want to go fight temptation on your own, by yourself, alone, you can, and you might succeed. Or you could end up like the guy in a chasm with a huge rock on his arm and realize the proverb where Jesus says, if your right hand offends you, cut it off, might become more literal than you know. The fact is, there is strength when we stand together because we can benefit from each other. Put aside our pride long enough to realize, you know what, I can learn a lot from people around me, whether they're older than me, whether they're younger than me. You know, sometimes we let our physical age give us a false sense of our own wisdom. The reality is, you know, you might be 50 years old or 60 years old or 35 years old and think, you know, I've got stuff pretty much figured out. Of course, if you're like me and you're 39, you realize you know less than you did when you were 24. I hate that. I knew so much back then. I don't know what happened. I knew even more when I was 18, but, you know, yeah. The reality is, there's strength in what we can learn from each other. There's strength in the support that we can gain from one another. And there are so many examples of the way in the physical world that we can benefit from helping one another. And I know these examples carry into the spiritual realm. When it comes to knowing somebody's praying for you, knowing that you have somebody who cares enough about you to hold you accountable to a standard that you said you're going to live by. So when the enemy comes and tempts you and your mindset is, well, I guess I can do that. And the person that is there with you says, no. Accountability can be a really good thing. Or simply the process of drawing strength from the person next to you. You know, when you're tired and you want to give up. I remember it was just a couple years ago that somebody on, I think it was the Gordon High School cross country team, was falling behind. And a couple of the other team members saw what was happening and they dropped back and ran beside him. I'm telling you, when you run, it's easier to run with people than by yourself. There's truth in that. Should we be able to be independent to a certain degree? Absolutely. Should God be able to be everything to us? Absolutely. But there are still a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about one another and doing things one with another and being there for one another and loving one another and serving with one another, a lot of one another verses, a whole lot of them. And you can't do those one another verses by yourself. It's like trying to have church and say, you know, my church is that church on the TV. Doesn't work very well. It just doesn't work. Hebrews 3 is a good verse. You should memorize this one or write it on a card and keep it in your pocket. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. How do we do that? This is how. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. And that would be today. And tomorrow, that will be today. And the day after that will still be today. Why do we do it? So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. There's so much in that sentence. You ever find yourself getting hard in your heart? Because of some lie that the enemy is trying to get you to believe, or some lie that you're afraid is true, and hardness begins to set in. We help one another not become that way. There are days I look out at some of you and I can see what's going on in your lives and I can see it on your faces. That the enemy's fighting in your, he's fighting with you. He's grappling with your heart and he's in your head. And I pray that I can be an encouragement to you. Finally, this, number 6. Why is unity so important? And this is really where the rubber meets the road. Earnest and focused unity leads to God-honoring results. And earnest isn't a word that we use a lot in the 21st century. When you really want something, you really want something, and you're focused on getting it. We see some descriptions here in Acts of the New Testament church earnestly focusing their energy on being unified so that God will move. You see, in Acts 1, verse 12, it says, as after Jesus went up into heaven, they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city, which consequently is about 3 miles. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And then what happened? Well, in chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and the whole house was filled where they were sitting. And I could read more, but you know, they took Jesus' words to heart. Jesus says, go back to Jerusalem, wait, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So they got together and they were focused and they were unified and they prayed and they waited until the Spirit of God was poured out. And then later in Acts chapter 2, we have a description of this church. All the believers were together and they had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day? Were they crazy? Crazy Jesus freaks. Man, it's okay to have a little bit of religion, but too much, you know, just don't go crazy with it. I mean, Sunday church is enough, right? Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Their unity was so focused and so prevalent that people every day were joining the group. Acts chapter 12, Peter's in prison. What were they doing for him? Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And if you remember the story, when the angel came and let Peter out of prison and he walked out and went and knocked on the door of the house where they were praying, nobody believed the servant girl that Peter was there because, well, he's in prison. It's kind of like praying and not expecting anything to happen. No, we don't want to get that way. Earnestly. How bad do you want it? Do you want spiritual breakthrough enough that you're willing to rely on other people to get it? I was looking through an outline that my father-in-law had put together on unity, and there was a little snippet I pulled off of this outline of his. Unity occurs, and from a purely, not even from a spiritual perspective at first. I just want you to look at this from a practical perspective, a purely natural perspective, if you will. Unity occurs when people have a few things: common enemies, common goals, a common language, common understanding, common heritage, common experiences, and common values. Unity occurs in people groups when these things are prevalent. Now, when you look around this today, the people that are here, you realize I might not have a whole lot in common with that person. You know? I mean, when I first met Joe, we didn't have a whole lot in common. Other than we were working in a theater production together. You know, I can look around, I look at Michelle, you know, I realized that when we first met Michelle, there wasn't a whole lot of common that we had. You know, I love talking to Darren about, you know, his life and where he's lived. And I realized, my goodness, he has lived in so many different places. I don't have a lot in common with where he's been and what he's done. You know, I look at folks here that ranch and folks here that, you know, if I really was to distill, you know, who you are and what you've been and what you've done down to your experiences and your personality, I'd realize that ultimately I don't have a lot in common with a lot of you. But what does Jesus bring us? What do we have when Christ comes? Our common enemy becomes Satan. Our common goal becomes to win lost people to Christ who don't know him. We speak a common language that comes from God. We have a common understanding that comes from his word. We suddenly have a common heritage because now we're family. Our experiences as we grow together become common. Our values are built on the truth of God's word and come from the heart of God. There's no reason why we shouldn't have unity. It doesn't matter what our previous physical heritage was, how we've been raised, where we came from, who our parents were, what country we grew up in, what color our hair is, what color our skin is, what color our eyes are, whether we're Canadian or not. Yay. Because Christ brings a unity, or should bring a unity, that should bring a power to us in seeing the kind of breakthroughs that we need to see individually and as a church. And there's no reason why unity shouldn't be just all over the place. Let's pursue it together and see what God does. Let's pray, shall we? Stand. Father, thanks for everybody here today. God, we know that sometimes this whole concept of unity can seem elusive because it's easier to focus on what we think is different, or we're too stubborn and too independent for our own good to realize that we need help and that we can get support from each other. But I pray, God, that as we've been moving forward, as we've been talking about worship, and as we've been talking about your word and your Holy Spirit, that there is power in standing together, in joining together, in praying, in believing, in standing in faith. Father, that when we take this journey and we go through this journey together, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, brother with brother, sister with sister, God, that you have built something in us, that you have given us a commonality and the potential for a sense of unity in the mission and our focus on you, God, that breaks down walls and barriers and makes it possible for us to do the impossible because you're at work in us, individually and as a group. I pray, God, that you would continue to grow that sense of unity that you desire here. You would grow that in a way that is tangible and that is obvious to those who walk through those doors and to those who live in this community, God, that they would see it and that they would desire it. And just like in the second chapter of Acts, God, you would add daily those who would come to know you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, well, you might not like me very much, but I'm here anyway. God bless. Have a great week.